Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The Justice Department has issued about 40 subpoenas against aides and campaign officials who worked for former President Donald Trump. The move is part of the DOJ investigation into the January 6th Capitol insurrection and efforts to undermine the 2020 election. As this and other criminal inquiries mount against Trump, there are questions about how long Republican leaders will continue to stand with the former president. Julian Zelizer is also thinking about this. He's a professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University, and he's with us now. Julian, good as always to have you.
Nice to be back. Thanks for having me.
So it's become an article of faith that to defy Trump within the Republican Party is a kiss of death. But do you think that's less true now that he's facing growing legal jeopardy? Are we seeing evidence that he may be losing influence within the GOP?
I think the evidence remains thin. I do think as these investigations intensify and the uncertainty about what happens next becomes greater, there will be more Republicans who are wondering, how much do we invest in this candidate? And are there others who could do the job better for 2024? But in the short term, I don't think there's a lot of Republicans who are still kind of bucking this trend. Even though in the midterms, it's likely that some of Trump's candidates could cost Republicans control of the Senate.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that, because in your latest piece, you point out that Republican Senate leader Mitch McConnell suggested the GOP might not regain control of the U.S. Senate because of the quality of some Trump-backed candidates. So describe the rift that appears to be opening up within the Republican Party around this.
Well, McConnell's mad. To understand Senator McConnell, you have to understand his thirst for partisan power. It drives a lot of what he does. He's willing to bend procedure, make decisions, kind of turn away from certain elements of the former president, if that's a path to power. But McConnell is looking at poll numbers that suggest, because of states like Pennsylvania or Georgia, where Trump candidates are front and center, Republicans might not gain control of a Senate, even though they were looking at that outcome just a few months earlier. So what's driving the rift is the cost to the party that the former president seems to pose, at least right now.
Right. Let's talk about some of those candidates specifically. They include people like Mehmet Oz in Pennsylvania, former football star Herschel Walker in Georgia, J.D. Vance in Ohio. All three of these Republicans are struggling to pull ahead in races that not long ago were viewed as ones Republicans could win easily. So what happens if those candidates lose? What's at stake if GOP leaders continue, as they have, to back Trump?
Well, for McConnell, power is at stake, and he will be in the minority at a time he didn't think that was going to happen. To have midterms not go well for the opposition party would go against most historical trends, so there'll be anger in the GOP, a little like after 1998, when Republicans didn't do as well as they thought. They didn't do very well, and House Republicans pressured Newt Gingrich, then Speaker of the House, into resigning because they were so upset. So I do think a poor midterm showing, if that's what happens, would cause some of those conversations, and it would also cause discussions about who best to represent Trumpism in 2024. Is it the former president, or is it someone like Governor DeSantis?
Right, Governor DeSantis of Florida. Sticking with Trump, though, in many ways, he really has reshaped the GOP in his image. It's very much his party now. As a historian, tell us, have we ever seen a political party devolve in this way, change in this way?
Sure, absolutely. In the 1970s, in the aftermath of President Richard Nixon's resignation as a result of Watergate and the troubles that his successor Gerald Ford had, you saw the rise of a conservative movement that swept through the Republican Party, led by Ronald Reagan, and culminating in the 1980 election, where the party shifted rightward, new players really took over the party, and you had the creation of the GOP that we're all familiar with today. So even if a party doesn't disappear or crumble, it can change significantly internally over time.
A number of Republicans, though, including candidates running for office, appear to be embracing lies and conspiracy theories. Historically, this is a big change. I mean, have we seen that kind of thing happen in the past?
No, we haven't. And it's shaping not just a few candidates here and there, but we hear this kind of rhetoric coming from the leadership. I mean, the entire campaign against the 2020 election was led from above, not just below. And we're dealing with an era where the ecosystem of the media, of politics, allows this kind of rhetoric, these kinds of conspiracy theories to become a mainstream part of political discussion.
Right. Meanwhile, President Biden has come out in recent days saying anyone who refuses to condemn political violence, anyone who refuses to accept the outcome of a Democratic election is not a patriot. What do you think about the timing of this? Should Democrats have been saying this all along?
Yeah, they should have been saying this from January 6th forward or even before, but now is better than never. And I think the Democratic perspective is keep this front and center.
All right, Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Many thanks, as always, Julian.
Thanks for having me.